From the KEIA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, we trace the roots of the conflict in Ukraine. First, could South Dallas County become home to one of the world's largest factories? The possibility has sunk in since developers learned electric car manufacturer Tesla is taking a look at the area known as the Inland Port as it considers where to build its battery plant. KERA's Shelley Koffler toured the industrial park with a man who believes his longtime vision is finally taking shape.
20 minutes south of downtown Dallas can feel like a world away. A mile or so off Interstate 45, corn ripples in the hot summer breeze. Hayfields grow green with recent rain. Small homes, some vacant, dot the landscape.
And we're in Hutchins right now, City of Hutchins. And so this is a new company coming in to do some type of an oil product.
As he turns his Chevy SUV onto Pleasant Run Road, developer Mike Rader surveys the property near the towns of Wilmer and Hutchins he began buying up 30 years ago. His Prime Point Investment Group now owns 4,000 of the 77,000 acres that make up a privately owned industrial area called the Inland Port. In the past decade, it's become home to large distribution warehouses for some of the country's best-known brands.
We've got corporate America here. Kohl's and Quaker Oats and L'Oreal and Unilever and Procter & Gamble and a new Georgia Pacific project. Corporate America's here.
Rader believes the secret to success for this generally impoverished part of Dallas County is something he recognized decades ago. It's a natural transportation hub. The so-called Inland Port, which isn't on a waterway and doesn't have a port authority, sits within 4 miles of three major interstates, 35, 45, and 20. And with Rader's urging, Union Pacific 9 years ago built another key selling point, what it calls an intermodal terminal. Every day, a steady stream of 18-wheelers bearing the names of international shipping companies like Yang Ming, Hapag-Lloyd, and Hanjin pass through the intermodal gates. Inside, cargo containers that arrived by rail are hoisted onto the trucks in a smooth operation that takes just 30 to 90 seconds. Then the trucks hit the highways, taking the goods to nearby warehouses and destinations.
What we're trying to do down here is build a port that distributes goods throughout the Southwest.
Guy Brown is the economic development contractor for Hutchins. He says the recession brought growth to a standstill in 2008. Now the phones are ringing.
Things started picking up. The economy started turning around. And we've had more interest in the last 12 months than we've had in the last 5 years. And we're talking about large companies.
And one of the largest, Tesla, the electric car maker that's scouting a location for its gigaplant, which is expected to hire 6,500 employees and produce 500,000 lithium-ion batteries a year by 2020. Brown says just having Tesla check out the Inland Port is a big deal.
The Tesla project would be the largest new industrial project in North America this year. It would have a very profound impact not only on Hutchins, but in the entire North Texas area.
There is, of course, stiff competition. Tesla is reportedly looking at locations in Nevada, Arizona, and New Mexico. Some consider San Antonio the favored location in Texas. But developer Mike Rader isn't deterred. He's shifted into sell mode.
Well, the key things we have are the logistics in the way of the interstates and the rail system. We have an abundant power supply here. Great for manufacturing facilities, technology companies, heavy computer companies.
Rader isn't concerned about an infrastructure assessment in 2012 that found the Inland Port has the basics for growth, but needs more of everything. Additional water, sewer, and roads. He says the city of Dallas, the county, and the North Central Texas Council of Governments have signed on to a plan to build infrastructure as it's needed. And for a big customer,
we can deliver. Can definitely come together for everybody, for a big manufacturer.
With or without Tesla, Rader sees his 30-year vision for some cornfields and vacant land coming into focus.
We're almost there. Basics done, and now we're just going to see it roll out.
Shelley Koffler, KERA News.
West of here, a Fort Worth man has tested positive for measles after traveling to Wichita, Kansas for a softball tournament. Tarrant County public health officials are concerned about the spread of this highly contagious respiratory illness.
Measles is one of the most contagious infectious diseases we know. It goes from person to person. Humans are the only reservoir, but it goes people to people through the air. So a person coughs, they put these viral particles in the air. They float there for a while, someone breathes it in, and they become infected.
Russell Jones is chief epidemiologist for Tarrant County. He says the good news is that most people are vaccinated in North Texas, but if they're not, here are some symptoms to look for.
Runny nose, eyes, maybe a sore throat and fever, and then you get a cough. Then after 1 to 3 days of that, you get a rash that starts at the top of your head, then goes down to the body, and that rash can be itchy.
Jones says anyone exposed to measles should immediately get vaccinated. More than a month ago, a committee was appointed to rewrite the Dallas school system's charter under the controversial home rule process. The panel has to finish that charter by mid-August to get on the ballot this November. So far, the committee's met just once. A second meeting is tentatively scheduled for early next month. Edwin Flores, one of the few home rule supporters on the committee, worries the charter won't be ready in time.
There's a sense of urgency. It bothers me to the extent that the sooner that we can make modifications to the rules that apply to the district that can help students, you know, why are we delaying? We should get those opportunities and be able to move on that as fast as possible.
The group's second vice chair, Jerome Garza, prefers a slower approach.
We are in the infancy stage of learning what needs to change, if anything. I think it's premature to put a deadline on something without understanding what the true issues are.
Garza and Flores say that takes time. If the charter misses this fall's ballot, the proposal probably won't be able to get the 25% voter turnout that state law requires. No school district has used the home rule process since it was created 2 decades ago. Flores says maybe it's time the state legislature reconsider the turnout requirement when it meets again in January. When Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 was shot down, the world's attention was once again drawn to the crisis in Ukraine. Today on Think, Serhiy Plukhy, professor of Ukrainian history at Harvard University, talked to Chris Boyd about the origins of the conflict. Think executive producer Jeff Whittington has more.
Ukraine and Russia have a long history. As Plukhy explains, one major flashpoint came after the disintegration of the Soviet Union in 1991. Russia and its president, Boris Yeltsin, hoped to lead a new economic powerhouse made up of former Soviet satellite states.
Yeltsin and his Russian advisors thought that this kind of economic independence of Russia could still work together with some kind of a loose association, maybe a confederation, where Russia would play not just important role, but a leading role.
A 1991 Ukrainian referendum ended those hopes. More than half the people in Crimea and nearly three-fourths in eastern Ukraine voted for independence. Plukhy says Russia's move this year to take control of Crimea recalls a much earlier conflict in Europe, one that ultimately led to World War II.
In the case of Crimea, we have, for the first time since 1939, that a major power, a country, invades other country and then annexes the territory. So we have all sorts of situation of wars, but this invasion without any pretext and seizing territory, this is really something that didn't witness for a long period of time.
Serhiy Plukhy is director of the Ukrainian Research Institute at Harvard University. His new book is The Last Empire, The Final Days of the Soviet Union. Jeff Whittington, KERA News.
Think re-airs tonight at 10, or you can find the podcast at kera.org/think. A reminder, Wichita Falls is under a heat advisory until 7 this evening. Otherwise, tonight, partly cloudy skies, 20% chance for showers with a low around 79. Tomorrow should be mostly sunny with a high near 101. And tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low near 78. It's currently 94 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 91 in Tyler, and 99 in Wichita Falls. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.